Tech and Rob, a parody show for episode 515.
Parody show?
Parody.
Parody.
Oh, parody. Not parody.
Not parroting.
Ronnie Watch Gregor.
Another parody, as in, like, you know, making it's, fun of.
It's either P-A-R-O-D-Y or from the technical standpoint, P-A-R-I-T-Y. Yes.
IT. I get it.
Uh-huh. It's the party show.
I saw what you did there.
Party. Technorama party show.
The piratey That's show.
Piratey show.
Peg leg R2D2.
You're infusing many ideas. He's like spreading.
From George R.R. Martin. He's
spreading seed all over the ground and hoping something will germinate. And,
okay.
Craig,
are we gonna need an explicit tag?
No, not like grass seed. He's broadcast
grass seed,
grass,
that kind of seed.
This gives a whole new meaning to broadcast spreading, doesn't it? Yeah. Podcast spreading.
There you go.
Ew,
Craig,
sounds messy.
Sorry, that was my bong impression.
He's dead, Jim.
Yeah, I need flatline.
Our topic for this show, so now that we can get on with the nonsense, a minute and a half, and we got nothing so far.
Oh, but it's the best nothing you could have ever wanted.
That's the way we opened our show this morning, and the nuttiness continues.
Just going to play sound effects and jabber on. I don't know.
That's every week for us.
Yeah, a minute and a half ago, we didn't have a subject for this show, so.
Now we do.
And we haven't addressed it yet.
Yeah. Craig, would you be so bold as to tell the brave listener who contributes real hard money to this show what they get this week?
Well, I was just thinking, we went on a slight discussion on Technorama about traditional animation. I thought, let's expand.
You gotta remember
that
these shows come out in the other order. They're going to hear this one first.
Oops.
I know, but you'll hear a little bit of that on the regular show. But what I'm saying is, as we were talking about the traditional animation.
Yes.
Animation. And I think the question of the week was, what was the greatest animated show out there? Well, we started talking about traditional animation. I thought, well, let's expand that topic a little bit and just keep talking about it.
Yeah. I love traditional animation. There's something wonderful about the computer animation and the animation that is being produced today by computers, et cetera, yeah, as well as the blending of the two. But traditional animation, there's nothing like it.
But at the end of the day, though, isn't it still about content?
It's about the content. But
I mean, if I saw a computer-generated short that had some amazing heart to it, but then saw something that was hand-drawn, you know, regardless of the quality, that was just completely devoid of any kind of content, well, you know, I'm going to completely blow that off.
Good point. Right. But given like for like on storyline, content, that kind of thing, which would you prefer to watch?
I'm not going to play Sophie's Choice. I can't do that because, for example, a few years back, Disney released two animated films really close to each other, and they were both totally different. One was hand-drawn, and the other one was computer animated, and yet they're both amazing. One was Princess and the Frog, which was hand-drawn.
Oh, my God.
And the second one was Tangled, which was computer animated, and yet they're both amazing. You know, so to say I'll pick one over the other, I can't do that. I mean, I really can't.
Yeah.
But what I will say, though, is that I'm not going to dismiss hand-drawn animation just because I think computer animation came along. I remember seeing, there was a really wonderful documentary that's available on one of the Pixar movie Blu-rays, and it talks about Pixar's success after they had done first Toy Story and then A Bug's Life. And there's all these like great editorial cartoons, you know, showing like somebody pointing the door toward, you know, or pointing Mickey Mouse towards the door saying, "You're fired."
Mm-hmm.
Thinking that computers is the way to go from now on. And it's not, because we then saw this plethora of bad stuff that was being marketed.
Right.
So it's not it's not about computer animation. And like I said, I've seen some hand-drawn that I thought was absolutely fantastic. And another one was like Atlantis.
Yeah, Atlantis.
Had a really different kind of style.
Yep.
It felt a little more almost anime in its attempt, but it was still marvelous to watch.
Right.
You know, Beauty and the Beast is probably one of the, yeah. the great blendings of those
that's
two.
As is Treasure Planet.
Yes, yeah. Treasure Planet was
That's got
incredible.
Some fabulous blending in there. But Princess and the Frog, as hand-drawns go, is just beautiful to look at.
Yeah, I think that they're, if you look at the differences between the two, is you can, and if you know the differences between, you know, animated and the hand-drawn versus the computer-generated, you can see the artistry that people are actually producing with their own hands versus what they are doing with a computer, which is equally as amazing, but that hand-drawn animation is just incredible to look at and to appreciate the artistry.
I think the producers have a lot to do with that, too. Yeah. Sorry, Craig, I'll let you go in a search. But right. Disney has a high bar.
Yes.
Very.
Traditionally.
Yes.
You know, they've had some...
They've had a few clusters here and there.
Yeah. If you look back at some of the 60s and 70s stuff that... And we won't talk about that. But, you know, beginning with... What was it? Little Mermaid was sort of their
the beginning of the Renaissance.
Yeah, that's a good word for it. The Renaissance. So Disney as a brand has a very high bar to set right now. And some of these others, I don't see that. Craig, what were you going to say?
I was just going to kind of agree with what Ben was saying that, you know, Pixar, I think, is kind of an anomaly because even though they're using computer animation, there's a lot of artistry that goes not only with the images they're creating, but with the stories they were telling, at least for the most part of their catalog.
Well, keep in mind, you have to remember who's running that show.
They are most of them are former Disney. And John Lasseter started at Disney. I mean, he went to CalArts with Brad Bird and a number of other people. And he's learned that mentality, and it really is. It's about the Disney storytelling, Disney lost their way when, you know, in that mean time period, and then just recently too, and then when he came on board as a chief creative officer for Disney, their films that they've produced since that, and he's executive producer of, because he comes in, and it's always okay. This is the way we tell a story for Disney.
Right.
There's a formula.
Yep.
You know,
and we're not just talking Pixar films either, because he now guides the regular Disney films alone too.
Right.
And those we've seen just a remarkable improvement, but it's people like him who've said, you know, Princess and the Frog, this is a great idea. We don't want people to think that hand-drawn is a dead medium because it's not.
Right.
It can still be beautiful.
It's very little of it. I think it's a losing
expense
art.
Standpoint.
Yeah.
And
rework. I mean, you can rework a CG scene a lot quicker and easier than
absolutely.
You can.
Absolutely.
And right now, I think the last holdout for any kind of hand-drawn animation, because it doesn't look like Disney's doing much of it anymore, is, you know, like Japanese anime.
Yeah. Let's talk about anime. I was going to go there. We're all about the same demographic in terms of age and preference. What are your thoughts on anime?
What is anime?
Oh. Wow.
Gore?
Craig is the youngest member of this team. Let's start with him.
Youngest. Well, I've only seen a very small subset of anime. I like the Animatrix we were mentioning on Technorama.
Did you watch shows like The Last Airbender?
No. My son did, but I've seen others. The Animatrix I thought was cool because there was like, what was it, 6 or 8 short stories in varying animated styles.
You do like shows like Speed Racer.
Yep, Speed Racer was good.
Yeah,
that's anime.
But it's of a different kind of quality because
it's a different genre too.
It is a different genre, but it's really kind of simplified. And the reason I was thinking of a movie that it's simply called Yuriko Doji. It's really very very harsh, and it's very adult. It's not for kids at all. It's
a lot of them are. Yeah.
Yeah. This thing is like R plus. It's that naughty. But the quality of the animation in that is remarkable. There's all these great shadings and colorings that are done that for hand drawn almost gives it a sense of depth. That like Speed Racer or some of the present day animes that are done for kids may not have.
You know, was Mononoke, was that hand drawn or
that was hand drawn.
I hated the story.
Oh, the story is horrid. But
the animation was incredible. Just absolutely incredible. And I've not seen a lot of anime, but the pieces that I have been pretty good. The story is, and this is not a slam, it's just my personal preference. And we have a friend in Japan that just released a little anime comic book.
Manga.
And it's the story is very Japanese. They have a very...
From a cultural standpoint?
From a cultural standpoint. Yeah. I mean...
They have their own idea on storytelling.
Yeah. And it's not something that I'm accustomed to. It was interesting, but it was, as I said, it was very Japanese in its cultural thing. And the animation or
The illustration.
Illustration was very good. And I enjoy the illustration and the animation in anime. It's just sometimes I can't get past the story.
But I'm also seeing some improvements on there too. I mean, like the new Voltron series that's on Netflix.
Right.
Mm, I mean, that is anime. I
haven't looked at it yet.
But it looks really good, much better than what was done in the previous series.
Actually, Netflix has a lot of anime.
Lots of anime.
Original anime.
Mm-hmm. Well, and Robotech was technically anime.
It is anime.
So.
No, I mean, very, there's no question. It is very anime.
Original anime.
I think I need to be exposed to some good anime storytelling. Because I got on it in the 80s, and it was just sort of a cheap, crank-em-out factory kind of thing where... You know, when you're used to watching Bugs Bunny where the cells seamlessly merge and now you're looking at mouths are either open or closed,
right,
and you're watching this conversation, I got distracted by how crappy the animation looked.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it's taken me a long time to even recognize it as an art form.
I don't think you were looking at the right stuff.
Exactly. All I saw was, you know, this guy fighting this guy and they're in the air for about 30 seconds going,
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like, really?
There's the problem though is that if you really want to see that high quality anime, you have to kind of go into movies that are not exactly what you would call mainstream.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's where you kind of get into the danger.
We have a couple of little YouTube clips that we've picked up along the way from different film festivals and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And there was this one that oh my gosh, it brings tears to your eyes, but it's a wonderful thing about deer.
Death.
And death. And the, it's almost the story of the Firebird. In essence.
Almost, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Firebird is a really kind of an anime story. And if you look at the Firebird sequence of Fantasia 2000, it's very anime-esque.
Mm-hmm.
And that whole story of the death and the rebirth and
all that,
you know.
There are some things. Who's the artist that did My Neighbor Totoro?
Miyazaki.
Yeah. Miyazaki, yeah.
He's got great stuff. I'd love to see more of that.
Mononoke was Miyazaki.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay,
yeah, Princess Mononoke is the.
I would like to explore more of that because I mean,
from an artistic standpoint,
I haven't seen Totoro. So
no, I haven't seen Totoro yet.
Oh, it's sort of a almost like an LSD acid trip kind of thing. But
aren't they all?
Well, that's Mononoke.
Yeah. I mean, that's your problem.
When it's done, you're like, okay, now I get why this is such a cult thing.
Right.
I mean,
exactly.
Yeah, because they're all dropping acid while they're watching it.
Why are there Totoro pillows on ThinkGeek.com?
I see now.
Yeah, but that was some of the problem that we've seen with so much anime is that the subject matter is either like like you're on an acid trip, or it's you're watching porn, sci-fi porn. I mean, the Urukadochi is that. It is very sci-fi porn. I mean, it's almost disgusting. It's a fascinating story, but it gets very pornographic. And unfortunately, that's where you have to go if you really want to see that super high-end kind of anime. You can't see anything that's got a very straightforward mainstream story that isn't the kind of cheesy animation that you were just describing a little while ago.
Yeah.
That's been my experience. Now, if I'm wrong, I'd like to be told.
Craig?
What?
I thought you had a thought that you were interjecting.
Oh, no. I was, we're on this anime subject, so I was just going to kind of bring it back. We were, earlier we were talking about the traditional anime, animation from the 40s and stuff.
Animation.
By the way, I was pulling, so I was pulling up Tom and Jerry because I was wanting to remember the right years. But it was funny. I see where it says credits on Wikipedia. It says written by William Hanna and Joseph Barbera, and they wrote for Tom and Jerry from 1940 to 1958, like 18 years.
Right.
We didn't even talk about the Hanna Barbera stuff.
Oh yeah, like
the Flintstones and Scooby Doo. Well,
yeah,
that good
I love. Yeah, I love the Hanna-Barbera stuff. But I always thought, even early Flintstones.
Some of it.
Yeah.
Not all the Hanna-Barbera stuff was going.
No, but what I'm saying is some of the animation, I love like the old animation where they took time and there's a lot of good smooth movements. Even some of the early Flintstones was like that. Then when it started getting into the 70s,
they had tight budget.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got tight budgets. Okay, let's not change the background.
Even the classics, like the Flintstones, got kind of crappy.
And then you started getting into like Rankin Bass, and they started using templates.
Yeah.
And you could recognize the templates, just over and over and over again.
Dust speck was in the last scene.
Yeah. Exactly. The only thing that's different is the character, but the movement is exactly the same. That's really cheapening the idea of animation just for the sake of saving a buck. And that's when I don't even know if you want to call that hand drawn. I mean, I guess to some degree it is, but when you're just drawing over a template at that point.
I'm spacing out on the name, the producer of Ralph Bakshi.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, he would rotoscope.
Yeah.
Is what he did. Because you watch his Lord of the Rings, and there are times where the animation just isn't there; it's gone, and you're looking at the live photography beneath it, and it's scary. Yeah.
The other name that comes to mind is Bagdasarian. Didn't he do the Chipmunks?
I'm not familiar with that name.
He did a lot of other stuff too. That was kind of cheap stuff in my mind too. But there are a lot. The more we talk about this, the more I start remembering.
Lots when I think animation, the names that start popping in my head is like Chuck Jones, Bob Clampett, Walter Lantz, Fred Quimby.
Oh yeah,
Jed Clampett.
Jed Clampett.
Yeah, Craig. Those names that you said were like the golden oldies, classical. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
In fact, I was just thinking back. I mean, if you go back to like the really, really, really old Popeye cartoons.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Black and whites.
Yeah.
There would always be, and I only remember this because Chuck, you were chatting, the little motion of walking.
They were always bouncing.
But there's these sequences where you'd see Popeye walking down the street, and yet they did this thing that could almost reminds me of Disney's old multiplane technique, where you'd see layers of background moving at different speeds. Yep. So it was like watching, it gave a 3D effect.
Right.
And yet that was all hand-drawn. I mean, it's like, where's that kind of quality gone now?
Yeah.
Yeah, so while I really love some of the computer animation stuff that's being that's being cranked out today, and while there is some good hand-drawn that's being done today still, Disney, trying to find something of that level of ingenuity, I'm not seeing that anymore.
Oh, it just costs a fortune now to do hand draw,
which is why they got a computer. That's why they've gone to the CG stuff. Can do that at level of innovation,
right?
Like Monsters Inc., Sully's hair.
Oh my gosh,
very Very difficult.
But they spent a ton of money writing a program in order for it to do that.
Exactly. Right. So you'd have the guide hairs and then you fill it in. And that was the kind of stuff that I thought was really neat. And I like seeing those innovations as they come along.
Hey, when Nemo came out, I was enamored by how beautiful that was.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I was like, whoa, does she want to look at it again?
Well, all of the Disney stuff, or all the stuff that Pixar is doing, virtually every film, they have new techniques and new software and new things that they had to come up with.
You look at the original Toy Story, which was
great
itself, but compare that to the third one. It's like,
Listerine commercial. But you're right. I mean,
that was Pixar's first.
It was Pixar's first, yeah. But I remember watching Toy Story 3 in the theater, and the only thing I could come up with is, okay, which animator just sold his soul to the devil in order to make Woody actually look alive? I mean, that degree, that sophistication of computer animation has just so progressed.
Woody looked better than Tarkin did on the last Rogue One movie.
And Woody's really plastic.
Exactly.
Yeah, I would like to see good. I still would like to see some really good hand-drawn.
Yeah, and that's why I think Disney's still doing some of that every once in a while.
They still pull something out.
Something that's really great.
Have they done anything since Princess and the Princess and the Frog, though? Hand-drawn? Oh,
I will say CG does a great job of augmenting
real
life.
Yes.
Think of like the dragons in Game of Thrones. Right. Or what was the one I was just thinking of before that? But augmented movies like that.
Well, even the Star Wars movies, like Rogue One or Harry Potter. I mean, I would refer to the Lord of the Rings films.
Yes.
Right.
Because the augmentation that's done there is just spellbinding.
Oh, yeah.
It's amazing stuff. The Harry Potter films have done a really good job, have done a great job there. But I think Peter Jackson's Weta Workshop team have just, they have created something that you'd swear to God is real.
Yeah.
I mean, that is just scary, sophisticated animation right there. And then another one was that was done recently, Andy Serkis, when he did King Kong.
Oh, yeah.
That version. I mean, that's all.
King Kong or the Planet of the Apes series.
The Planet of the Apes. There you go. Now you think those were real?
Yep.
You can't, I mean, they have exactly.
Seriously suspend belief when you see those things.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, we've gone from traditional hand-drawn animation to computer-generated animation to now motion capture animation, and it's scary how where is it going next?
I mean, look at you go Rogue One. Look, what they did with Governor Tarkin.
Yeah, I mean,
that has a way to mature. I mean, even when the latest Tron movie was like, he's a little plastic.
Yeah,
it's just hard to get, a little. It's all in the mouth. It's hard to get. There's 200 muscles in your mouth to move the lips and whatnot. That's when they make that breakthrough, like Sully's hair on Monsters, Inc., that's going to bring in a new era of
CG. We did see something. VR. We did see something that was just scary great, and that is in Captain America Civil War, the very, very young Robert Downey Jr.
That blew me away, because I was like, I'm looking at
Michael Douglas. I mean, and even Robert Downey Jr. says, where did that guy come from? Where has he been all this time? Or the de-aged Michael Douglas saw in Ant-Man.
When I saw that, I'm sitting with Harrison, of course, he has no frame of reference, but I'm looking at a dude that I remember from the 80s.
Yeah, right.
That's the guy I'm looking right here. Same thing with Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah, Robert Downey Jr. is like, oh my God, that guy is right scary. out of the John Hughes films.
That was scary.
That's what computer has been able to do. It does have a little ways to go still, especially like what they did with poor Carrie Fisher. Oy.
Yep.
That looked bad in Rogue One. I'm sorry. I mean, it was neat to see the character, but it did not look good.
Let's put it this way. I thought it looked good, but not good enough.
Not good enough.
Yep. Yeah.
Tarkin was closer.
He was closer, but I still
not
thought he looked
yet.
Like Dobby.
He's still caring.
Not scary. There. Yes, he looked like Dobby. Yeah, he's not quite there yet. but we're making progress.
I thought Tarkin looked more believable than Princess Leia.
Yeah,
and
he did.
Again, like I said, she didn't move much, and I was like, wow, that looked pretty good.
Oh, but the mouth is, is what gave it away, though.
Emperor has given me a sock.
hey, if you...
He's given me a chiclet.
Hey, a little bit of makeup. Did you see the girl that played Princess Leia in that scene?
Actually, in the documentary for Rogue One, yes.
Before they actually doctored up her face. If they just done a little bit of makeup, I'd have been fine with them just slipping somebody else in there.
Yeah.
You might have, but there's the fans wouldn't have gone for it. Star Trek people. Star Wars people. I didn't just say that.
Yeah, you know, Star Trek people get mad.
I think she could have looked convincing enough because she looked close to begin
Even
with.
Even the Star Trek people would have been.
Exactly.
Who swapped out my Deanna Troi?
And on that note, we've been going for 25 minutes.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it goes quick.
It's supposed to be 10?
Get these guys on animation and we'll...
Now let's talk about the iPhone X.
Yeah. Oh, boy. No.
Next week,
maybe. Yeah,
thank you, gentlemen.
Tonight. Thank you.
Our pleasure.
We didn't even do the introductions properly.
Oh, whatever.
You know us.
Yeah. People know us by now.
Ben and Keith from TG Geeks. Ding.
Ding.
Nope, not that one. That one.
Wrong ding. Here you go.
The ding is pushing the buttons. That's a mug of dong.
What's this? A letter for me.
A letter.
Thank you, and we are going to sign out. If you want to send in your comments, technorama@chuckchat.com, or call us on the listener line, 707-530-2428. Craig, do me the honors. You've got 5 seconds left to give me a binary high five.
101.
That'll do.